thank you for listening to Life with the Girlfriends. Tonight, Christy, Marie, and Julie talk about millennials and their need for trophies. The comeback of Bob Ross. Forget about his painting. What about his hair? Johnny Depp's $200,000 a month wine budget. And Shia LaBeouf's only selling 3 tickets in all of England. And stay tuned for Pillar Talk, where they learn that conflict plus resolution equal evolution. This is Stormin' Norman. And people, let me tell you about my best friends, Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hi, Julie.
How are you doing today?
Doing fabulous.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Would I say anything different? You know,
No, of course you wouldn't. No. The tide has turned weather-wise.
Yes.
You know, it ping-pongs back and forth, but I looked at the weather, and for the next 10 days, we're going to be above 50 every day, sometimes above 60, sometimes
wow.
in the 70s.
Whoa.
And when you hit that mark, you're like, oh my gosh, I think spring has sprung.
Yeah.
And that's a good time for you and also a bad time for you.
Well, for me, personally, because yes. I'm not a girl that likes heat.
No, not at all. Not at all. And so you're just like, oh, man.
Yeah, I know. I said to you, it's like, it's the 1st of April, basically. You
yeah.
know? And I'm like, we should get the air conditioning guys up to make sure we have Freon in our central air.
And what's going on with April? It literally is the 9th of April.
Yeah, it literally.
Literally,
it literally is
by.
Speeding by.
I don't get it.
I think that the planet is hurtling out of control.
Yes.
And time is speeding up. I'm not kidding you.
Yes.
I'm not kidding you.
You're not kidding me.
No.
I understand completely.
Something's going on. Yeah. That time is like going by way too fast.
Well, it doesn't hurt the fact that you are now watching while you bike. You watch Gaia TV.
Yes, I do.
You know, back in the day, we used to watch this one website, a couple different websites back in the day, maybe 10 years ago, mm-hmm. Called expansions.com.
Yes.
And this other one, I remember being at work and listening to this one website you told me about, and this woman was all about the 3 days of darkness that was going to come.
Right.
And it was fascinating.
She was about Planet X.
And
Nibiru.
She had her own little quote-unquote podcast at the time.
Yes.
Where it was just audio on her computer. And I was just like, this is, as I'm doing my work, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You know, the world's going to come to an end, because be prepared for the 3 days of darkness. Be prepared.
Be prepared. Have food.
Yeah.
Frank and beans.
The Holy Spirit wants you to be prepared.
Twigs
and berries. She wouldn't have called you. It wasn't a religious show. It was more like a spiritual fringe Planet X show.
Yes.
And she'd throw in God and Jesus Christ and all that stuff and the Holy Spirit. And I'm mm-hmm. like, wow, I love the mixture of this. It's so entertaining and fun. And it kind of blends together both part of me.
Yeah.
And so then you go, and sometimes you'll hit like where it ends up now is just like buy more frozen freeze-dried food because 3 days of darkness are coming. What about EMP and all this stuff?
You're like, I know. And here's the thing. If the 3 days of darkness are coming, do you really need food that has a 29-year shelf life?
You know what? We've talked about this, and I think the reason why we need a 29-year shelf life of food is because it may take 29 years before we actually crack that baby open.
But shouldn't you have replaced it by now?
We got to crack this food open. Yeah, we're going to waste.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so funny because it's all carbs.
Yes.
The food that...
It's all comfort food.
I guess that's what you're looking for in the days of darkness.
Well, I think it doesn't nauseate you as much to think that you've had...
You can get mac and cheese.
Right.
You can get noodles and tomato sauce.
Yes. Stroganoff kind of thing.
You can get noodles and stroganoff sauce.
Exactly.
You can get chili.
Exactly. Yes.
And
there's
plenty of pudding to go around.
Well, and I like the fact too that sometimes I even say, well, hey, sometimes your budget gets a little tight. Crack those babies open.
That's right.
And you know.
Yeah. Company coming. I like that one. Have you ever seen that commercial for 39-year food shelf life?
No.
And they're sitting around. It looks like it's Thanksgiving. There's a big table of people, candles and everything. And in the background, you look out the window and literally the apocalypse is happening.
Oh,
but no, they're celebrating Thanksgiving with their mac and cheese, their their butterscotch pudding,
right.
their milk that you can add water to.
Where are they getting this water from?
Rehydrate.
Yeah.
I like to know where they're getting their cooking stove from. I'm sure at that time, all the stoves are, there's no gas.
Well, I'm sure they've talked about, I'm sure they've had an intuitive break to buy matches.
They've got their matches. So that's why I had to have you buy matches last
just
week.
Just in case.
That's right. Because
we've got our one container. Well, I think.
How many containers of food do we have?
Really? We only have one plus.
One plus?
Yes, because we were on like a monthly plan for just literally one
month.
Yes.
One and a half months.
And then we're just like, hey.
Screw it. Well, here's what we said. It wasn't really a month. We bought one container, but it was for 3 months.
Right.
And then we said, if we, we don't mind going on diets.
Yeah.
So we'll split.
Yeah.
Every serving, we split three ways.
Right.
So then we got, basically, we're close to a year.
We are.
We're at 9 months.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would think that, and the nice thing about these things, they come in and it's kind of packed really tight. I'm like, I could see us having another 6 month thing supply.
Yeah.
And then I just like, it's the water issue you got to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is an issue. That is an issue because we've tried to store water, but we're so lazy that, we ran out of water. Go down to the basement and get some of the stored water.
Yeah.
Pretty soon,
no,
that's all
water.
Gone. Yeah.
Exactly.
We got to get better at that. And we also have to get better at how we, let's say we don't have gas anymore. Let's say we don't have electricity.
Right.
How are you going to cook your comfort food?
Right.
What do you do? You get a little, Bunsen burner or something.
Well, it's like in those times, it's like the guys who've hoarded newspapers their whole life become really valuable.
Yeah.
Because they got kindling.
You know? Take your gold and give them your gold for a newspaper.
Their junk becomes now your treasure.
Yes.
You know, it's like, hey, Mr.
Kindling.
Hoarder. Yeah, I can use a little hoarding love over here, and I'll give you one of my 29-year food supplies. It's one packet. What do you think? Trade.
I know you put a lot of emphasis on we lived in a lake community.
Yeah.
And you're always like going, oh man, we got water. Worst case scenario, we got fish. I mean, I don't know how many fish is really in our lake.
And do we
want those fish too?
Right. Well, I say yes. And we have turkeys. We don't have to like.
They're turkey vultures.
Yes, that's true. We got turkey vultures.
I'm not sure you can eat a turkey.
Too. We got turkeys,
too. Do we have turkey? I know we have bison.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be horrible to kill one of the bison for food?
Well, if you're hungry enough, I'm thinking at some point your brain shifts. Yeah. And you're going, that bison looks really good.
Yeah, at some point.
You know, it's really interesting. You can go to our local grocery store now, and you can buy, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, grass-fed bison. Steaks and ground beef. Yes.
You can?
Yes.
Are they from our?
I don't know. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wonder if any of our herd has died. I know they've multiplied, but I wonder if somebody's died.
I don't know. They don't celebrate that as much as.
No, they'll let you know.
Yeah.
We like, the local paper.
New baby bison.
Well, I guess
after a while you start doing the math. And you're like, wait a minute. We had 75 last year, and if we had 12 new babies, now we should have 87. But now we only have 83. Hey, what happened?
And some of them ran away from home.
Yeah, they ran away from home.
They packed a suitcase.
They sometimes go, well, we couldn't find them all. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Oh, got
it. Which could mean maybe they got like over 2,000 acres.
Yeah, that's true.
They got some space, and I now see them more spreading out.
Mm-hmm.
Like the herd has gotten kind of big, and you're like, hey.
Yeah, and we probably have like drones that have cameras on them to see where they can find them and everything. A guy that used to help us when we were building this house, he has about like maybe 10, 15, maybe 20 acres over there by the bison.
Yeah.
And I now notice that they took his house over.
Right.
I mean, not just the bison. They are grazing right at his front door.
Yeah.
But they whoever they are,
they
bought that land and the house.
Yes. So the bison
awesome.
You know, what do you call it? Foundation money or what do you call it? Colleges that have that money saved.
Yeah. funds. I don't know.
I don't know what it's called, but they have that. The bison are really liquid. They just keep buying house after house after house.
Yeah, that's true.
Except that I would be really, because there are two houses in the middle of the bison range now, yeah, that people live in.
Yeah.
And then they're aggressive people too, because they have
I know, they go, keep out of my driveway.
Yeah, keep out of my driveway.
People that you're trying, bison people.
The bison watchers don't watch here.
Yeah.
I'm like, well then don't put your house in the middle of a bison field. And consider yourself lucky, because you have bison living in your side of your yard.
Yeah.
The backyard.
Yeah.
Not on the other side of your
yard. Would you consider yourself lucky if you had? I think I would.
I would consider myself very lucky.
Yeah,
very
and we saw them really, really, really close up. They every once in a while they come close to the fences and I don't think they're like gentle animals. I mean, one was trying to hump another one, and it was not a pretty sight. It was, she was like, get away from me.
Right.
Knock it off, you know? Right. And I don't know why they don't separate them, but they don't.
Well, I think that would not be natural.
Yeah, that would that would not be the point of it.
Yeah, the point
Keep them apart. Keep them apart.
Keep the women and men apart. And now you get all these horny bison away from the females.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that's a very easy...
That's an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, it's a fence. They're just a fence away. I'm thinking that fence is coming down. You know, you can't put fences up between bison, horny bison and women bison.
And not only that, but then all the horny bison, they're like... Oh my God! They are strutting their stuff.
Yeah,
because they're all saying maybe she'll like me. No, no, no! She's gonna like me.
Exactly.
And maybe she'll like all of us.
Why can't we get over there? We gotta act more bison like. Yeah.
Maybe we can say stuff that'll make her like us. Like girls are just as strong as boys.
Exactly. You look really pretty today.
Yeah,
and you look very smart over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fasina. I don't know what bison's female name would be.
Fasina.
Fasina. Fasina. I just came up with that name.
Really? No, you didn't. Hey, now, do you think you can make bison jerky?
Yeah, they just be, they're already jerky. Is that your setup when I took it away from you? Was that going to be your joke?
No, it wasn't going to be my joke. I was going to say, though, because I mean,
how do you
maybe
make bison jerky? I'm teasing for a while. Like, I'm really jerky then.
Let him go close to the electric fence.
Yeah. I turned into big jerks.
I was just thinking it might have a good shelf life.
I think, well, especially if it was sealed appropriately, you know?
Yes.
I think it could happen for sure.
This is not anything near that we were going to talk about.
No, exactly. Well, because I want to have a new segment right now called, I'm just pulling this, I'm just going to pull this out right now. You ready?
This nugget?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me tell you about millennials. That's my...
Oh, we should have people, so, let me tell you about millennials.
Because I can't. I don't want another button to push.
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll just sing that. No, so it was kind of nice. We're going to during our movie talk today, we got two movies to talk about, right? We got The Fantastic Beasts and Where They Come From.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a small little indie movie with great actors called...
The Brothers Bloom.
Right. And so after Fantastic Beasts, Doug and I watched it, and it was... I can't tell you my review yet. Don't want to be... We're not there yet. But... I love it when I know, you know, so I've got two millennials in my life, you know, and they're 4 years apart, and one's 22 and one's 26, and I'll tell you what, they couldn't be any different.
Right.
And did I mention this last time about, you know, 2 weeks ago we talked about pansexual, right?
Right.
And that Time magazine, and how we're like, wow.
We get it, maybe.
We're starting to get it a little bit more.
Kind of get it.
And so I was curious, so I don't know if I talked about this last week or not, but I had asked my younger millennial, Quinners, she's 22. I said, okay, I read this article, and it happened to be on April 1st that I asked her this. And mm-hmm. I set it up like this. I'm talking to her on the phone, and she's like, I go, oh, okay, so I got to talk to you about something. She's like, what? Okay, like, I'm reading this article and on Time magazine, and it talks about pansexuality and transgenderism. And I remember growing up as a kid, and she's like, please tell me this is an April Fool's joke. Is this an April Fool's joke? I'm like, I start laughing because I'm like, yes. And I realize now that I am pansexual. After this much time. And I'm like, no, it's not an April Fool's joke. I go, but literally.
We were literally.
I read this article and I'm curious because in my mind, I had negotiated all these terms. I'm curious what you thought about it. And she goes, are you comfortable with the term pansexual, or is that a new term for you? And she goes, no, I've known about it for a while. I have an older friend of mine who considers themselves pansexual, mm-hmm. and I have a younger friend of mine that considers themselves pansexual, mm-hmm. and my friend Zach from high school, who I don't talk about anymore, mm-hmm. but you know really well, mm-hmm. he considers himself fluid gender. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh.
So, and see, I've met Zach, and I would not consider him fluid gender.
I just thought he was
he's gay.
I would thought he was gay, but...
But that's my brain.
That's your brain, yeah. Right. Not, and I go, well, what do you think...
And maybe even bordering on flaming gay.
But see, that... there's no label for flaming gay. It's just gay with a little fire. Yes, but... And so maybe that's why. But I go, what do you think pansexual means? And I asked that to Quinn's, and she goes... Because I was familiar with the term bisexual, and mm-hmm. so I'm like, well, this seems very similar to being bisexual, mm-hmm. or you'll just do anything, yeah. you know? And
but she knew exactly.
She said, it's like bisexuality on steroids.
Right.
I'm like, oh. She's like, here's what it means. Like, this is from a millennial who has pan friends, who you know, mm-hmm. who's in the mix. Because mm-hmm. everybody I know who's in the mix is using older terms.
Right.
And she goes, if you can be a cis woman, which is a cisgender, which is you feel the same way with the same way that your reproductive organs are. So if you're born with an ovaries or a vagina, you feel like a woman, you're a woman, mm-hmm. and but you will have sex or be romantically involved with anybody, and that's mm-hmm. being transgendered. Gender fluid, male or female. Mm-hmm. But if you're just male or female, that's bisexual. Mm-hmm. But if you will really do anybody,
mm-hmm. cross-dresser,
anything floats your boat. And in the back in the day, we would have called that, oh, you're just literally into sex.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have said, you know.
Addicted.
You know, even borderline addicted.
Yeah.
You know, and my feeling is they didn't have a mom like I had a mom who said, honey, guess what? Sex is really good. But guess what? It comes at a high price. Unwanted pregnancy is the least of your worries. Because once you go, oh, I'm pregnant, no problem, you'll deal, right? It's eight, mm-hmm. you know, the rest of your life, you got to take care of a kid, but you'll deal. But do you want to have genital herpes forever? Do you want to have
your kid
syphilis?
Will leave at 18.
Yeah, your kid, herpes stay with for you for a lifetime. Do you want to be living in the old home phone with genital herpes? No.
You're going to be living in the old folks home with no nose?
You talk to us about syphilis, yeah. and you talk to us about the government injecting syphilis into people to see how it, you know, what the results of syphilis. I mean, you kept us aware, girlfriend. And so
I was up on all that.
You were up on all that. So I'm just thinking that they don't have parents scaring the crap out of them
right.
about the big consequences
yes.
of like sex. Because yeah. yeah. that kind of curbs it a little bit.
It kind of makes it, yeah.
Because then you're like, I really don't want to date people who are really dating anybody.
Yeah.
I need somebody right. a little bit more selective. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Then we can, like, because back in the day, remember that slogan? You don't have sex with your partner. You have sex with the partner's yeah. partner and their partner's partners
yes.
and their partner's partners.
Yeah.
Remember that?
That was like I think it was a hair shampoo commercial.
It was that too. But that's when we all had hair down there. But that's no longer the case. The world is going around too fast. It's spinning too fast.
It is going
but
too fast.
Now I talked to my other millennial and mm-hmm. my, you know, and she's 26 and she goes, I literally just
literally.
Heard about this topic a week ago when I went to my conference. Someone brought it up and we're like, never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 4 years.
Right.
That's how fast the world changed.
Yes.
4 years. And I thought, people, put on your aluminum foil hats. Strap yourself in. It is going to be one bumpy ride. And yeah. I love you because you always say, We were born for this time. If you're born, if you're alive now, you are born for this time.
You were born for it.
Do not fight it.
Right.
Enjoy the effing ride. And we live in a great country.
Right.
Where the ride's going to get like candy for our eyes. Like, what the heck is this?
Could it be that we live in a great country?
We live in a great country. I know. And I'm not even saying make America better, or what's the slogan?
Make America great again.
Great again. She's better. I like make America better.
Yeah.
Just keep progressing.
Progress, not perfection.
Yeah. Because also, I don't know. I mean, great again. No. I hate that word again.
I do too.
What do you mean? For who? Great for who again? Tell me.
Coal miners.
Please make it great for us again. Please. Done.
Is this our millennial segment then?
Yes. So anyway, I was watching the movie, and I was, thank you for bringing me back to Target. And I wanted to go, I can talk to Quinn about this. I know she loves this movie, and she's a big Harry Potter fan, like huge. And this is like a precursor to the Harry Potter books, like 60 years in advance. Mm. So the people who were old in the movies were going to kind of meet in this next series. Mm. And so... And you and I, we were on the radio, we were here listening to the radio, and someone mentioned how Bob Ross is really popular.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Because of Netflix. They're playing him. You can watch all of his episodes on Netflix.
Right.
And we were floored because I grew up loving Bob
you
Ross.
You used to love him.
And just, he was so hypnotic and calming.
Yeah. Yes.
And so I asked Quinners, I say, Quinners, do you know who Bob Ross is? I love Bob Ross.
I've watched
all of his episodes. And she's a little painter as well. She does really well.
Yeah.
And I go, we have to have a Bob Ross party. And she goes, I'm in. I'm totally in. And then I hear her boyfriend in the background going, wait, can I get invited to the Bob Ross party? And he's like, yes, you can come to the Bob Ross party.
But Bob Ross was so cool.
Wasn't it?
And you told me something about his hair, like... That you had found out that...
On the radio,
right.
I don't know, this could be just, you know, false news, fake news. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But who would make this news fake? But it could be that he wasn't born with that afro, you know, that curly, permed hair. He had straight hair, and he was kind of cheap because he was saving money for his paints.
Right.
He decided that if he let his hair grow a little bit longer, he could get a perm. And... Which, by the way, I've seen pictures of you with a perm, with the Bob Ross perm. Awesome. And so anyway, he hated it. He just hated the way he looked in it.
Right.
He hated it. But somehow, timing-wise, that was the time he went to PBS, or the PBS got him.
Right.
And wanted to do a series. And the thing they said was...
The joy of painting.
And the thing they said was, you can't mess with your hair.
Yeah. We want your show on one condition.
The hair.
You cannot touch that hair.
Can't touch the hair. And you know why? It made him memorable. Memorable.
Yeah.
It's
plus,
like,
the fact that you'd have this really beautiful picture, and then all of a sudden he looks like he's going to go in and mash it all. Don't touch it.
The way it is.
Yeah.
And he does something like, oh.
Oh, that mountain you just.
Oh, wow. Oh, I see how you just gave a sun kissed. That tree's got sun kissed.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's sun kissed on one side and snow kissed on the other side.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This is beautiful.
We're going to have that Bob Ross party.
Wouldn't that just be
awesome? We'll play an episode.
Yep.
And do that painting.
We'll make sure we have it all ready to go.
Yes.
Like, let's go, people. Let's do Bob Ross painting. I think this would be incredibly fun.
I know.
Incredibly fun.
It would be.
So I'm going to do it. I'm going to work.
So, but it's interesting that the millennials have discovered, you know, something that you guys loved.
I know. And it makes me feel so good.
Yeah.
Because I love having deep, interesting conversations with the two millennials. I love the two girls.
Yeah.
You know, I love them. But sometimes you just think their lives are so different than mine.
Exactly.
And it's not like we're that far apart in age.
Right.
I mean, like, but 60 years.
Yeah.
But it's just, and to know that within 4 years, those two women's lives are, their experiences are so different.
So different, yeah.
And I think, what's going to happen in the next 4 years?
I was listening to Joe Rogan, who, you know, we love his podcast and stuff. And he was saying, like, what's going on with the world? And the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And he said something about the millennials. And he goes, you know that we're in trouble when you have to give out trophies for just playing in the soccer game.
Yeah. Like, you played. You participated.
You participated. Well, it's trophy.
Yeah. When you said playing, I'm like, well, they don't give them out just for playing. And I'm like, oh, they do. That's called participation. They participated.
Yeah. I told Norm, I said, you know, if we didn't participate, we just got, you know, our asses kicked.
Yeah.
You know, like you want a trophy trip trying?
No. Participating mean no beating. That was negative reinforcement.
Yeah, exactly.
Now it's positive reinforcement. And maybe everybody's happier. I don't know.
Maybe it's going to work out.
Yeah, I don't know what these kids' motivation will be when they actually are older.
Yeah.
And maybe it will be just living. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. Maybe we could have a world without violence. I don't know. There's always those people out there that need it, though.
Yeah.
That crave it, who need to write negative comments on YouTube and all that stuff.
Yeah, like, what? I mean, really? How much free time do you have to have to write, like, you know, whatever, you know? Like,
I remember
somebody said, like, you know, even if Jesus came down and had a YouTube channel, somebody would go like, oh, you're nothing without your father. Oh, you think you're so cool, but without your daddy.
You'd be nothing.
Yeah. Like,
you'd be nothing.
Oh, yeah. And where's the Holy Spirit now?
Where's that? And I have to admit, sometimes in my desperation, I have said those words. Where's the Holy Spirit in this? Then I get my groove back.
And then you get a thumbs down.
Thumbs down. They're like, meh. Thumbs down. Exactly. So,
yes, Julie. Where are we
as
at?
As you could tell, we've had been on this comedy kick a late.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, how much comedy have you literally digested in the last week? I'm curious.
I'm just in love.
Because you've done it more than I have this week.
Well, you know, you've challenged me that I'm supposed to come up with 7 minutes.
Yes.
You gave me a whole year. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting there, you know. Okay. I just haven't decided how I'm going to. I mean, everybody has their, like, kind of like, who they are, like,
right,
their format. Like, I've noticed, like, some comedians are like, they talk really low and slow and, you know, they don't, and then some just like deliver the punch, and so I've got to figure out who I am, first of all.
Right.
And
exactly.
Then give myself a trophy for that.
Yeah. I'm going to be giving you tons of participation trophies for that.
Yeah.
You know, but I love how what you're doing is just like absorbing it all to find out who it is.
Yes.
And sometimes I think, though, because sometimes I hear your jokes and you're like creating these new jokes.
Right.
And I think if you could just add an accent or a voice different.
Some kind of a different voice thing.
It would, like, you'd be aiming for the bleachers.
Over the top.
Over the top home run. Where you might only have a first base joke.
Yeah.
A first base joke is funny, you know, but like, oh.
It kind of like, giggle.
Nona is making a joke.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Made a joke. Good job, Nona.
But if Nona uses an accent.
Nona's going for the bleachers. Yeah.
I don't know how to do an accent, though. I'll have to work on that.
I
could go up higher.
Yeah.
And like if I'm being like, I'm, you know, telling a young joke, I could do this.
Oh, in some ways, go really pretend to be like really old, like nanny. Not old. Like.
Oh, yeah. Well, like today I made a joke about.
I can't move my mouth. Old. No, I would think.
Why, yada, you young whippersnapper.
That'll work.
I was playing with Elliot today, and I did an accent because Dad was making breakfast. I was playing with Elliot, and I said, we're going to name, because Dad said, you know, he was cooking bacon.
Yeah.
And he said, how do you want your bacon, you know? And you had just said something like, you like it long, right?
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Well, I said it looks like normal bacon because you had me go out and buy special bacon.
Yeah.
Called hotel bacon.
That's right.
And you're like, Julie, what'd the hotel bacon look like?
And you said.
I go literally just long. Longer bacon.
And so then I said, I was playing with Elliot. I go, okay, that's Elliot's new name. It's like, you're going to be Sir Elliot Stabler Long Bacon.
Yes.
And then I did British. Yeah. I said, Elliot So Elliot Stabler Longbacon has 18 acres in the south of England, and he's a royal dog, and he has this tasty pudding, and
I don't know, Jules. Then I did that accent.
Yeah, and it wasn't. You haven't mastered it, but I'm.
No, thinking, I haven't.
Yeah, I think work on it because even if it's bad, it could go bad great.
Yeah, it could be a good bad.
You're just sounding like you're just. Don't know. You're faking it.
Yeah.
It hasn't been a conscious.
Yeah. I don't know how to practice like
that's
that.
That's okay.
Though.
That's okay. But are you ready for a little movie talk?
Okay. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies and see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know what I mean.
And so today we're going to do our Sherpa reviews of two great movies.
Okay. What's the first one?
The first one I'll do.
Yes.
Because I think your movie was actually better than my movie.
No way.
I think so.
Oh, my God.
So I saw... You know, of course, we're not the newest of the new. We're seeing
We review the older movies because we're trying to save you, you know, precious time.
I also think that after the fervor is gone and the splash is gone, you get a more truer review.
Right.
And my review is based on hanging out with my guy, having dinner, watching this movie.
Eating popcorn.
Eating popcorn, watching this movie.
Right.
And I want to give it three and a half Sherpas.
Hats.
I'd say more like three. Mm-hmm. It was a good movie. Mm-hmm. It wasn't great. It was shorter than the Harry Potter, which I felt I was appreciative of.
No kidding.
It felt like it was based on a screenplay. And after, or like a, you know, it was written specifically for
treatment?
A movie.
Right, right.
Not a book.
Right.
And so I asked Quinners, my millennial, and she's who loves Harry Potter, and she's like, oh no. There are no books. She goes, there was a textbook on this stuff, like a textbook, but it was like 50 pages long at the most, I think she said. I'm like, okay. She goes, oh, this is totally for the movies. Mm-hmm. I'm like, awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, I like that because it felt tighter. Sometimes the Harry Potter movies, because the books are...
Yeah.
They're 500 pages long or more.
Yeah. I've seen grown adults who like, you know... creaming their jeans over the Harry Potter stuff. And I'm like, whoa.
Yes.
Really?
I'll tell you what, though.
Is that funny, though, if I go like this? And I'm like, whoa. Really? That's that's going to be my thing.
That's going to be your thing?
That'll be my thing.
I'm going to give you two notes on that.
Okay.
It should be like, whoa. Beat, beat, beat. Really? Yeah, more of a...
Yeah, and open my eyes real wide.
Yeah, there you go.
Really?
Really? Yeah. Really?
I'll never get that those minutes back.
Yeah. And the really? Audience is like, I'll never get those 10 seconds back. I mean, if Teague could just walk around shirtless for half an hour on her comedy special.
I can open my eyes real wide and go, really?
Exactly, exactly. People are like, what? Somebody walking around?
I think the world needs a comedy grandma.
They really do.
I think so.
There are tons on YouTube, but they're not like you.
They're not. Oh, good.
Yes.
Good. You just burst my bubble. There are tons on YouTube?
Mom, you could put in Jackrabbit and Dog, and I bet there would be 100,000 different videos with Jackrabbit and Dog in it.
What has to do with grandmas?
Well, I'm saying two words that you wouldn't think go together.
Oh.
And in my mind, it you could
have... Oh, grandmas and jokes.
Yes.
Right.
Tons.
Right.
In my mind, it's either jackrabbits doing it doggy style or dogs doing it jackrabbit style. Dogs mating like jackrabbits or jackrabbits doing like doggy
and then
style.
That's how we got the jackalopes.
Exactly. Exactly. Because somebody went, jackrabbits, antelopes. What? Shh, blow my mind. Shh.
And then there came this little rabbit with horns.
Yes.
The jackalope.
So I'm going to back to my reviewing my movie really quick.
Sure, sure.
No more than three. It was a tighter movie than the Harry Potters. Mm-hmm. Visually pretty, but still a dark movie. Very gray looking.
Right.
Very gray looking, right. Which I always complain about with the Harry Potter movies. They just felt gray.
Gray.
Spoiler alert, not because it already came out. And if you haven't seen it, this is not going to ruin it for you.
Jeez, Jill.
There's one split second scene of a new character coming, okay? What this is based upon. And it ends up, this character ends up going, I go, is that who I think it is? Which is Johnny Depp? And so I looked at the credits and I couldn't see the credits, so I'd have no idea.
You didn't see his name in the credits?
No, they were so small and so fast.
Oh, okay.
This is crazy. And so I called Quinners and I Googled it first. And yes, it was.
Johnny Depp is in the
And they said they had to recast him because of his personal conflicts, like personal divorce situation. And
That just seems weird to me.
Well, I think he's turned into... unfortunately, he's turned into a joke.
Johnny Depp?
I think so, because of his, you know, people talk about his budget.
Well, I mean, that commercial.
$3 million. Yeah, the commercial.
The Sauvage.
Yeah. With the bison, he cries.
And tears.
He throws sand up in the air. Yeah. Like, who does that?
I always say that Sauvage, that's the name of his cologne.
Yes.
And I just say substitute an S for the V.
Sausage.
That's Sauvage. Yeah.
That's a good joke.
It's
right?
A great joke.
Thank you.
But and they talked about it. They said, you know, we got so much backlash from the fans about it being Johnny Depp, and even though Johnny Depp is a creative genius, they said, and this from the producer said this, that maybe we should respect the fans more. And we could have done that a little bit more with the Harry Potter shows, because they said sometimes we needed more magic. I'm like,
the fans said that?
Yeah, more magic in the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
It was all magic, right?
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe it could have been a little bit lighter, the Harry Potter. Sometimes they were so serious. Like, oh, do I want
to... Honestly, I don't remember any of them because I really just... They did not turn me
but
on.
But guess who's replacing him?
Who's replacing Johnny Depp?
Yes. I'm going to try and... do charades for this.
Okay. Oh, that'll be good for radio. A fat man?
No. What's this?
The finger.
Oh,
the wrist. The fist.
It's not good for
radio.
Not
good for radio.
Cumberbatch.
Oh, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
I love him. I love him.
Yes.
That you were doing a cummerbund.
Yes.
I thought you were like doing like Santa Claus.
Yes.
Big jolly. Like, who's that coming down the chimney?
But I realized that was in a tank fast. I had to change that up really quick. And I thought, well, that's very interesting. Because when I saw Johnny Depp, I was just distracted by him.
Yeah.
Because
you're like, Johnny Depp on the screen.
He needs to play some normal guys again.
Yeah, he does.
I think he's played way too many eccentric characters.
And I remember, too, like during his divorce, they had to, you know, make a list of everything.
Yeah.
And he had a $200,000 a month wine budget.
Yeah, I think those things...
That's just a little excessive, if you ask me.
Yes, because what it comes across is to people, like, really, you couldn't have done something different with that money? Like, anything.
Yeah.
Just bought one cheap bottle of wine and give, you know,
and save Flint, Michigan.
Flint, Michigan, water.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. So go ahead, tell me your story.
I have a quick one. The Brothers Bloom. I came across it. It's a small indie movie. Adrian Brody, Mark Ruffalo, but both good actors. And then Rachel Weisz, who's just darling in this movie. And she's married to, she's married to James Bond, isn't she? And I meant, what the heck's his name? I don't know. But Norm goes, she's married to Sean Connery? Like, Norm.
Yeah.
Not the first.
Four Bonds ago.
Four James Bonds ago. Hello. I really wanted to shake him. But the little guy, I can't think of his name now. But
can I? The little guy.
The shorter James Bond.
Oh, is that who she's married to?
Who do you think she's married to?
I didn't think he's short. I think he just looks short. He's not short, is he?
Okay. He just looks short. Okay.
I don't remember his name.
I know, darn it. I
can't think of it.
Look it up on your Google.
Okay.
Google it, girlfriend. Google it.
Yeah.
You're going to say something, though.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, because Normano... yesterday, you got some new underwear in the mail.
I know.
You bought some new underwear.
Yeah, I got it in the mail.
Got it in the mail. And you thought, and it was expensive underwear.
Yeah.
And you thought you only bought one pair. Like, this is the most expensive underwear I've ever bought.
I thought I bought, because I thought I bought two pair.
Right.
And, are you going to tell the story?
I am.
So, oh, my God. All right.
Here's a story, because I think it's a funny joke.
tell it in a good way.
Yeah, okay. I can't think of his name.
Is it start with an S?
I don't know. Crazy. Anyway, so here's a joke really quick. So you go, and I'm in the kitchen.
You're coming in the kitchen. You're coming in the room, just walking from the kitchen.
And you go, oh, what's, I go, do you know what's different about my underwear? And at the same time, I hear Normana go, dirty? And I thought he was joking. I said,
you said a cuss word.
You, Norm. That's not a good
You're
joke.
Walking in the room.
Yeah.
We're all having three different conversations.
We're literally having three different conversations.
What's different about, you know what's different about these underpants? And at that point, he's going through the laundry, and he's holding up a shirt and asking me, is this dirty? What he's saying is this one dirty or not? And he just looks at me and goes, dirty? And I said, so it goes like this. You know what's wrong with these underwear?
Dirty?
And you walk in. F you, Norm.
F you, Norm. That's not a good joke. And then we're all like laughing because that was so funny.
It was like three different conversations happening at
one
time.
Daniel Craig, by the way.
Daniel Craig.
The short James Bond.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's like, I'm short? What? Say what?
But anyway, I do want to say that this was a cute movie. Short, unexpectedly cute, sweet.
Right.
An easy breezy, 90 minutes. And cool. Played by good actors. The kind of movies you'd like to watch on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon,
Perfect.
And I have to, one quick movie point here I want to make, too, is that, and you're going to have to look this up for me, Shia LaBeouf.
Uh-huh.
His latest movie came out here in America.
Right.
And I think it's been one of the most incredibly lowest producing movies, $500,000.
Right.
And it's been out for 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
Now, that's low. Now, I wish I could tell you the name of the...
I think it's War. I have no idea.
War?
I think it's War.
Just War. Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. But what then... a lot of times, so like, for example, Matt Damon, his movie The Great Wall, I mean, did really horribly here in America, but did like billions of dollars in China.
Right.
So a lot of times,
exaggeration, but you're close.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry for exaggerating, but a lot of times they do make movies for, other countries. Same thing like with a Schwarzenegger movie. His movies are amazingly popular in other countries. So anyway, Shia LaBeouf made this movie. And only $500,000 have been made so far in the first 2 weeks, and it went over to England, and I heard that it made the first week it sold 7 pounds, and 7 pounds is literally one ticket, so one person went to see this movie the first week, and then the second week it sold 14 pounds. The Shia LaBeouf movie. So only 3 people in all of England have gone to see this movie.
Yes.
And I started thinking like, I can understand the one couple, going to see a movie.
Yeah.
But the poor guy that paid the 7 pounds and went by himself.
See, I'll tell you who that person was.
Being the only guy in the theater.
Or the only girl that really loves Shia LaBeouf and wants to support her. She might be the lead of the UK fan club.
Well, that's true. I thought very small in that.
I'm going to just defend him a little bit.
Okay.
It's Man Down, by the way.
Man Down.
Yes. Man Down.
That's right.
Okay, I didn't see one advertisement for this show. Movie.
Right.
Have you?
No.
Didn't even know it came out.
No.
It probably should have never been released, but... just gone right to video.
Right, right.
Or right to Netflix or something.
Right.
But I'm guessing there has been nothing coming out this season of any quality.
Right.
I mean, Doug and I are like, let's go to the movies. Like, what do you want to see?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't even know what's out there.
Yeah. I mean, I know, like, I used to like Shia LaBeouf. I think he's a decent actor.
Yeah, he is.
But he's kind of, like, gotten a reputation like Johnny Depp in some sense for kind of just being,
goofy,
like, weird, like wearing a paper bag over his head.
Right. But I also think it's kind of cool to think that, oh, my gosh. In history, I can say I literally sold one ticket at a theater. That's pretty awesome.
No, in a country.
In a country.
Yeah.
But what if it was only open in one theater?
That's true. That's true.
They're not telling you the whole story.
A limited opening.
And what if they only had it at one theater in America or the United States, and it was packed. All Shia LaBeouf's fans came from all over the country because he was going to be there.
To this one theater.
It was packed. Line. So we don't know the whole story.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing the studio didn't put a lot of money into advertising.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing, you know, I didn't hear a review. I don't even know if it was good or bad.
The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It could be a good movie.
Yes. He may need to do a little shifting or maybe take a break and do some Netflix series or something like that.
Yeah, something where we can love him again.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, but it did kind of, it's sort of like.
Wasn't he a young Disney star?
Sure. Yes, he did. Yeah.
Because see, there is this problem with the Disneyfication of America.
Yeah.
Something happens
to
these kids that, I mean, I was watching Chopped Junior.
Right.
And it was, you know, Ted Allen was asking one of the Chopped Junior, you know, kids, like, hey, you know, are you kind of nervous? You know, all these other kids you're going up against, and does it make you nervous? And he goes, I just sprinkle fairy dust, magic fairy dust over them, and I don't see them.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Magical Princess Fairy Frozen. Dust. Yeah. Like, I think that is the Disneyfication of these kids.
Exactly.
You can just sprinkle fairy dust over it and it doesn't exist.
Exactly. Or else, LSD, whatever. That's what the kids call it now, fairy dust. So it's really LSD or ganja, whatever hallucinogenic drug it is. I don't know. But yeah, you're totally right. And it is very much the Disney.
Britney Spears was one of them.
And maybe, yeah. And I, you know, it's like Shia LaBeouf, he just needs to, I don't know. He's in that category with, just perception wise, with Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
But Johnny Depp comes across as rich, eccentric. Like, dude, you need someone around you that tells you no.
Yeah.
Because not everything you do is art.
If you're wealthy, you're just eccentric. If he was broke,
he'd be crazy.
He'd be batshit crazy.
Yeah. And then I just, in my crazy mind, I just thought to myself, I wonder if Johnny Depp is like, if he takes him a number two in the morning, does he sign it? Like art. This,
I know.
I call this morning.
Julie. Well, just like Beyonce, they said one of her tweets is worth $1 million.
Yes.
Imagine what your poop is
Beyonce
worth.
Beyonce poop is worth. You know,
or she probably names it.
Water lilies. You know, there's somebody has to be around you.
Gray
says,
Gardens.
No. Yeah, Gray. Fields of corn.
Brown sugar. Oh, yeah, fields of corn. That's good.
Somebody has to be around you saying no.
That's right.
I think somebody does. Or you just get too, you start believing your own myth, which is, I'm just as best.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, half the time you're in a costume. Like half the time, Johnny Depp, who I think is a good actor, you're in a costume.
Yeah. Put on normal clothes and then act.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I want to see you do, you know, Broken Fences or wherever that movie was with Fences with Denzel Washington.
Oh, I thought you were like Brokeback Mountain.
No, or that. But, you know, where it's just a monologue.
I can't quit you.
Yeah, there you go. One of those. I want to see him do that. Hey, are you ready for a little pillar talk?
Wow, sure.
Pillow talk. So here we are, literally. Some days I'm really good with that literally word, and today I'm not.
You're not, Julie.
I am using it liberally as salt.
You're using literally liberally.
Exactly.
Whoa, say that.
We only have like 6 minutes left. I know.
We better hurry up and get pillar talk in.
One thing,
what's our nugget you're going
to
pull
up? So I get home late, and you said, you made it just in time to see, well, I guess late for me, you know, oh, Louis C.K. I'm like, great, on Saturday Night Live. I'm like, wonderful. So you got me up for that. And then you go, hey, I'm going to get you to see Joe Rogan tonight. I'm like, it's midnight. I'm tired, but I'm in. Let's go see Joe Rogan, because I love me my Joe Rogan. And I'm watching him. He's so cerebral. I love his comedy.
Right.
And different than Louis C.K., different than Chappelle.
100%.
But he said something just quickly in there, and it sparked
You wrote it down because you were like,
I wish I could tell you I wrote it down. I looked at my notes this morning. I'm like, I can't read my writing. I must have been tired.
Right.
But here's what I think he said. Okay. You know, he was talking, goes, you know, conflict plus resolution equals constant evolution. I'm right. like, oh my gosh, you're totally right.
Jaw drop.
We don't get evolution without conflict.
Right.
And we don't get evolution without the resolution of that conflict.
Right. Win or lose.
Win or lose.
Yeah.
And that was just mind-blowing.
We don't get evolution if somebody is getting a trophy.
Yes.
For being, this is our take on it.
Yes.
For just being in the conflict.
Yes. Well, unless you can, here's what they should do. You're going to get a participation trophy if you can tell me what you've learned from this.
Right.
Well, I learned that it's good to be in for the group and to do my best. And even if I wasn't able to get a goal in, I being there, doing my best, helped that person get a goal in and win. You're like, participation trophy.
That's right. That's a good one.
You know, they had it. And I think about sports because we think about that traditionally as conflict.
Conflict, yeah.
And that one team event, the resolution, one team will definitely win.
Right.
And you know, evolution occurs because how do you get better? You play with somebody who's better than you.
That's right.
You don't get better by playing somebody the same or worse than you.
That's right. Same thing with chess.
Yes. Yeah. You know, you get better by playing someone better than you.
That's right.
And that's how it works. And it was
Is that how comedy works?
Yes, it does. But I thought to myself, in our coaching, a lot of times clients come to us who are struggling because their life is only seen through the obstacles. And if we can, and we try and say, hey, but that's okay, because like with the clutterfly effect, we don't know why, but everything you desire is on the other side of that
obstacle. Right.
Well, now we really know why, because evolution only occurs when conflict plus resolution gives you constant evolution, constant improvement.
Right.
That's what kind of evolution is about. Right. It's improving.
Yeah. We really want as a species, we need to keep improving.
Yes.
That's all we need to do.
For sure. And so it was mind-blowing thinking about this last night. And I wrote it down today after I go, I can't read this. I must have been in a drunken comedy state. I don't know. Hour and a half of Louis C.K. and, you know, 30 minutes of Joe Rogan. I slept hard last night, man.
You slept hard, girlfriend.
I woke up dizzy, drunk, you know, comedy drunk. And so I go, I think this is what I said, but it made me feel so good because I looked at my life already in different conflicts that just need to be resolved.
Right.
One way or another.
Yeah.
Whether I have a system in place, whether I have need help, whether I, you know, whatever the conflict is.
Right.
And I go, and then evolution will occur.
I think that's why your boyfriend, Doug, doesn't evolve.
Yes.
He cannot stand conflict.
Well, it was so funny. I can't believe you brought this up. We were together last night, and yes, we were together. not in that way. Well, because close your eyes, ears, Mom, because I'm not going to tell you one way or another. But we were driving, and he's having a conflict at work. And he's the boss, right? And he works with his best friend. And I mean, like, there's something going on at work, and he's getting texts and all this stuff. And I said, well, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'm just too nice of a guy. And I start laughing. And he goes, why are you laughing at me? And I said, I'm not saying you're not nice, because I have seen you be nice. But you have, in our 30 minutes of driving together, flipped 3 people off, called 2 people derogatory words, and, you know, a-holes and all that stuff. I'm just not saying those.
I thought seeing the nice guy here.
I'm thinking those are not the behaviors of a consistent nice guy or too nice of a guy.
Right, right.
I said, you hate conflict. He goes, I do hate conflict. I go, that is your biggest problem. I go,
it doesn't make you nice.
It does not
make
you nice.
It just makes you escapist.
Yeah, it makes you the baby of the family who everybody took care of you.
Right.
And, you know, like, dude, just man up and call somebody.
Right.
These are not even conflicts. They're just little things that if you just would call them up and find it, but everything's got to be done by text. So conversations that could have lasted a minute now last all day long.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. So yeah, and so we had this discussion. He goes, you're right, I don't like conflict. And which is great for me because I don't like
fighting conflict, but I don't mind conflict because mm-hmm. to me that's just a discussion.
For conflict for you, it equals
resolution.
Evolution.
And so, and then that equals evolution.
Right.
And, but yeah, I did grow up thinking, you used to tell me all the time, if people have to always compromise, no one gets what they want.
I did say that.
And that maybe that's evolution too.
Exactly.
It's the best for everyone involved. A win-win in some sense. Mm-hmm. Or maybe like not win-win, but like a draw-draw. Yeah. We're still moving ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that though.
Yeah. So I just thought, you know, thinking about conflict and obstacles in the form of conflict, it took away resistance I was having.
Yeah.
It was like just this immediate, I'm looking at my life only through the eyes of evolution,
right,
or constant improvement.
Right.
Not a lot, a little tweak. We talked about that in our book, tweaking.
Right.
But somehow I hear something differently and it hits me at a deeper level.
Yes.
Where, hey, take the emotional component out of here. This is all about tweaking,
mm-hmm.
evolution, constant improvement.
Right.
Tony Robbins talks about this. If you just had 1% improvement every day, you would, for a year, you'd think, oh, it would be 365% improvement, right? Mm-hmm. That's not true at all, because you're having 1% improvement and then you're having 1% improvement of that last improvement. So it's exponentially growing. And that's the key. You don't know where you're going to end up.
Wow.
If you choose to deal with the conflicts at hand.
Right.
Look for resolution.
Right. One way or another.
One way or another.
Do you know what I mean? Because the resolution, it's nice to think, oh, we're always going to win.
And no.
But even
the people who lost in the game,
yes,
they learned something too. They got a participation trophy.
That's what Tim Ferriss always says.
Yes.
Who I love. Because even if something went south for me,
yes,
I gained a new network of people. I learned some new things,
right,
strategies. You always learn.
And you always, conflict always resolves itself. Exactly.
Yeah, one way or another, whether you deal with it or not.
And so, girlfriend, I want to tell everybody to go to our new website, consciouscommunity.com, pick up one of our 21-day challenges there. They're free to you. And we're all about this constant improvement, aren't we?
You bet.
So if you have a conflict, like 21 days to decluttering.
Yeah.
21
days to better sleep.
Yay.
21 days to conscious results.
Yay.
And we say 21 days to a better you.
21
We're
days
not saying
to a better
to
you.
To a perfect you.
No. So take your conflict, find some resolution for it, and
evolve.
Evolve. And like the show today, girlfriend?
It was great.
It was great.